Amen. God bless you, choir. And certainly, his name is majestic. And praise the Lord that his mercy is more. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Mark's Gospel. Chapter 10, verse 35. I want to share a message with you this morning as we continue to study Mark's Gospel. Don't be bossy like the world. I mentioned to you previously some progress markers, if you will, in Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus speaks about his death, burial, and resurrection, prophesying, foretelling, afterwards teaching on what it means to be a follower of Christ. He did it again in Mark chapter 9, verse 31, again speaking about death, burial, and resurrection, following that up with a lesson on discipleship. And then last Sunday morning, he did it for the third time in Mark chapter 10, verse 33. Again, speaking about his death, burial, and resurrection. And today, following that, he again is going to teach a very significant lesson about the Christian life. Don't be bossy like the world. If you have found Mark chapter 10 and verse 35, would you please stand this morning, if you are able, in honor of God's word. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 35 and through verse 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We're able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us this morning more of what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Christ. Whether we are young or whether we are old. Let us, Lord, hear from your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Notice, first of all, if you will, this morning, beginning in verse 35, a request for privilege. A request for privilege. Verse 35 says, "Then James and John," these were the sons of Zebedee. Or you may also know them by the sons of thunder, James and John. By the way, my mentor in ministry, Brother Jimmy Pritchard, First Baptist Church, Forney, has two sons, James and John. This particular James and John, not only the sons of Zebedee, but Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 20, telling us about this same story, this same experience, said that Salome, their mother, was also involved in this interaction with the Lord Jesus. And perhaps, if all of those things line up and what we know to be true about them, it seems that perhaps they were making a request because they were family. They were cousins of the Lord Jesus. And so they come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." So nepotism, if you will, on the pages of Scripture. It's interesting to me that Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, here's your blank check." Which, just by the way, this morning, brothers and sisters, not really the main point of this passage, but a good lesson along the way. Don't be so quick to runneth over at the mouth. Take time to think before you speak. For our mouths can get us in much trouble. And as you know about me, I'm speaking from firsthand experience this morning. If you'll remember, we even see on the pages of Scripture, if you'll turn back just a couple of chapters, Mark chapter 6. King Herod's mouth got him in trouble and caused him to do something that he significantly regretted. Mark chapter 6, verse 22. "And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, 'Ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you.'" He didn't think about that before he spoke. He runneth over at the mouth. Verse 23, "He also swore to her, 'Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom.'" Lo and behold, what did she request? The head of John the Baptist. Book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20 gives us these good words. "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." So just an aside, just a by the way, let us think before we speak. Jesus thought before he spoke and just gave James and John the blank check. "Okay, whatever you want." He responded to their question with a question in verse 36. "What do you want me to do for you? What did you have in mind?" Then here in verse 37 is their request for privilege. "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory." Now, the wonderful thing about James and John is that they understood who Jesus was by this point. They understood that he was a king. They understood that he was going to be a king. They also understood that he was the promised Messiah. What they failed to understand was the nature of his kingdom. They were fully and completely thinking and expected some type of military rule, and yet that was not at all the kingdom that God had in mind for his son. To say that I want to be on your right, that right hand, that was the highest place of privilege and association next to the king. And that next place of privilege would be then the left hand. They wanted privilege. They wanted perks. They wanted a lot. Jesus answered them, "You don't know what you're asking. You don't understand everything there is to know about my kingdom, or otherwise you would not have asked for such. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" What in the world is Jesus talking about? Talking about sharing a glass of water? What are you talking about here? Oftentimes in the Old Testament, the cup is used symbolically to talk about judgment and specifically to talk about the wrath of God. You mean God might have judged his son Jesus, and the wrath of God associated with his son, Jesus? Yes. For your sin and my sin. The judgment of God, the wrath of God poured out on his only begotten son because of my sin and your sin. Sin of the world. That was to come. That was what was in Jesus' mind. That was something that these disciples did not comprehend yet. Jesus says, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" Again, we're not talking about these waters when Jesus says that. What Jesus is talking about is more along the lines of calamity, being engulfed, being submerged with water. That's terrifying when you're simply talking about something that you can't control, something that you can't help, the experiences of life. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 50. "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." I'm about to experience something that is completely going to overwhelm me, being his betrayal and his death on the cross for the sin of the world. In Psalm 69, even though the word baptism is not used, yet the psalmist in this instance, King David, understood the idea. I sink in deep mire, Psalm 69, verse 2, where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Verse 15 of that same psalm. Let not the flood water overthrow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. So Jesus, talking about God's judgment and his wrath with the cup, and calamity with baptism, they said to him, in verse 39, we're able. We can do it. So ambitious. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. Now please understand this morning. Yes, these brothers did experience judgment and calamity, but not to the extent that the Lord Jesus did. James, in the history of the Christian church, even on the pages of Scripture in the book of Acts, the very first martyr after Jesus Christ for the faith, he gave his life. He was executed because he named the name of Jesus as Savior and Lord of his life. That's judgment. John, exiled, eventually to the Isle of Patmos by himself with no one. That's calamity. Again, not to the extent of the Lord Jesus, but to some degree. Did they drink the cup? To some degree. Did they experience baptism in this regard? To some degree. Verse 40, listen to what Jesus says. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. And it is for those for whom it is prepared. Ultimately, we have to understand this verse, that if it's not Jesus's to give, it seems to be implied that it's the Father's to give. It's God the Father who makes that decision. It's God the Father who is orchestrating that kingdom, who will make that decision. So we see here another, by the way, in this text, the honoring of a parent by a child. Children, this morning, can I encourage you to follow after your Savior, Jesus, in honoring your mother and your father? That is one of those Ten Commandments that we know about in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And in Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, children, I hope that you are writing this down, because I can assure you your moms and dads are writing this down. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long life on the earth. And so not only in the Old Testament, but repeated again in the New Testament. Exactly what Jesus did in this instance, honoring his father, obeying his parent. This request for privilege. Notice secondly this morning, beginning in verse 41, a recipe for prosperity. When the 10 heard it, the other 10 disciples, they were not pleased. They were not happy. You know why? Because they had the same request. They wanted exactly the same thing that James and John wanted, and yet they were slow to ask. Not James and John. They beat them to the punch. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. How dare they? That's what I wanted. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them. So here he's going to teach this lesson on discipleship. This lesson for the follower of Christ. Here's what James and John thought my kingdom was about. But now I'm going to explain to you clearly what my kingdom is about. You know that those who are considered rulers lorded over the Gentiles, or considered rulers over the Gentiles, lorded over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. They're bossy. They tell other people what to do. Those in authority, they hang it over their head. I'm your boss. I'm in control. You answer to me. You're to do what I say. Notice what Jesus says in verse 43. He says, don't let that be true of you. Yet it shall not be so among you. A pattern that you are to refuse. Don't be like the world. You know what they're like. You know what they do. You know how they talk. You know how they treat one another. Don't be bossy like the world. Instead, the rest of verse 43 and 44, there's a paradox. A paradox about the kingdom of God. That you and I, brothers and sisters, need to remember every day. But whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desires to be first shall be slave of all. That's not how the world works. And Jesus is saying, that's right. If you want to follow me, don't be like the world. So think about that this morning, brothers and sisters. So I've already had an encouragement this morning for children. Husbands and wives. Husbands. Don't boss your wife. Rather, serve them. Wives, what would it mean for you not to try to boss your husband, but to serve them? Don't be bossy like the world. Instead, as a follower of Christ, serve one another. Think about that for your job. What would that mean? Instead of bossing your coworkers, if you served your coworkers. Think about what that would mean at church. What would that mean as it relates to parking spaces and places in the auditorium? And serving in the nursery. Not thinking of self, but serving others. Jesus said, don't be bossy like the world. Instead, serve one another. And then Jesus finishes this lesson by pointing back to himself. Because verse 45 is a third observation from this morning's text. And it's a ransom for people. A request for privilege, a recipe for prosperity, and number three, a ransom for people. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man, Jesus' most familiar and popular title for himself. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus, number one, he came to serve. He was king. He was Messiah. Only Son of God. Savior of the world. And yet, he came to serve you. He came to serve us. And he did that by not only coming to serve, he came, listen to this, to save. He came to give his life as a ransom. Well, who was holding us hostage? Ah, it was the devil holding us hostage. And Jesus paid the ransom to the devil. No. Jesus and God don't owe the devil a penny. The ransom was paid for God's wrath on sin. And Jesus did that with his sinless, perfect life. And then died on the cross in your place and in my place and for our sins, for the sins of the world, so that anyone, man, woman, boy, girl, young, old, black, white, anyone who would receive Jesus as Savior and Lord would be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. And so this morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, if you're here today and you are already a follower of Christ, my invitation to you and this text's invitation to you is to serve one another. And if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, and there are some of you here this morning and that is true of you, I know that to be true of you, you know that to be true of yourself, I want you to know that Jesus came to save you. And so in just a moment, if you recognize this morning the Holy Spirit has convicted you of your lostness, and today, you're going to answer that call to put your faith and trust in Christ. In just a moment, I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to invite you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, to prepare yourself to join me here at the front during our invitation. Because after I finish praying, we'll be standing and singing together. And then if today, you will answer that call to salvation, I'm going to invite you to step out in one of these aisles, to come here to the front. Let me or Brother Ronnie know the decision that you're making today to receive Christ. And we will celebrate you, and we will counsel with you, and we will pray with you, and we will share that decision so that our body of believers can also celebrate with you. If you're here today and God's leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church, to serve Him by serving one another, and this is where the Lord has brought you, then today we would invite you to come. And we'll take care of the details of transferring your membership either by letter from another church or by your statement of faith or even by baptism, if that is something that you need to do as well. Our invitation will be for you to serve or to be saved. But whatever you do, don't be bossy like the world. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity today to gather around your word. Lord, I pray that as followers of Christ who have gathered here on this Lord's Day to hear from you, I pray that we've heard loudly and clearly as husbands and wives to serve one another rather than self. And as employees to serve one another rather than self. And as brothers and sisters in Christ to serve one another rather than self. And Lord, for those here this morning who are separated from Christ because of their sin, and yet you are convicting them this morning of their lostness, Lord, I pray that you would draw them unto you, give them faith to believe, courage and boldness today to respond publicly, putting their faith and trust in Christ and receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord for the very first time. Lord, we trust your word to do its work. We trust your spirit to do its work. And so, Lord, we commit this invitation to you. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? Brother Chris comes to lead us this morning. Would you come forward today? Respond publicly. The Lord is leading you on the very first stanza.